Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, we thank you for the presence of your Spirit among us. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you speak to us this morning. Take these words and thoughts of mine and use them to speak to us. Take our ears till I finally tune them. In the midst of all that I say, Jesus, it's your word we hear. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Portion of the Gospel of Mark that I just read, I think, is pretty familiar to us, the calling of some of the disciples. I will make you fishers of men. Listen again to Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 20. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified version that widens out the meaning of the phrases and the words. Now, after John was arrested and put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The appointed period of time is fulfilled, completed, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, have a change of mind which issues in regret for past sins and a change of conduct for the better, and believe, trust in, rely on, and adhere to the good news, the gospel." And passing along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon Peter and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting the net to and fro into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me and be my disciples, and I will make you become fishers of men." At once they left their nets and, yielding up all claim to them, followed with him, joining him as disciples and siding with his party. He went on a little further and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were there in their boat, putting their nets out in order. And immediately he called out to them. And abandoning all mutual claims, they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and went off after Jesus to be his disciple, to side with his party and to follow him. A call to come and follow. But there's also a call, the little less famous part of that passage is the beginning part, a call to repentance. And I love the Amplified version because it fills out the meaning of repentance. Oftentimes we think it's just merely regret, but listen to what it said as it tried to translate the word repentance. Have a change of mind which issues in regret for past sins and a change of conduct for the better, and trust and rely on and adhere to the good news. You see, repentance isn't just regret. There's two parts to repentance. You have to come to that place to regret what you did and realize it was wrong, number one. But then you have to turn to something else, because in the word repentance, there's a real sense of a complete turn of way. I was walking this way. I'm deciding to walk that way, 180. And so we leave behind and regret what we did, and we decide to turn the other way. The other way being the way of Jesus, trusting in his way. Two parts make a 180. The call to repentance. Our first reading this morning, short and sweet, out of the book of Jonah, is also a call to repentance. The story of Jonah. I think we're somewhat familiar with it from our childhood, hearing about the whale and all the things of Jonah. We have just a little snippet in today's reading of the story of Jonah. See, last week we heard Samuel responding like the disciples to God's call. "Yes, I'm ready. Here I am. Let's go." I like in the text of Mark, which he uses a lot the word "immediately," but he used it in context to the disciples. Immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. Left no claim, as the Amplified said, to their former way of life. That was Samuel as well in the Old Testament. God called, he listened, and he went. E.F. Hutton. Loved it. But Jonah is a whole different story. When God calls him to Nineveh to prophesy to his arch enemies, Jonah says, "Forget it. I want nothing to do with it." Now, because today has just that little bit, I encourage you, because it's a very small book. It's rather entertaining, very easy to read. It's a couple of pages long. When you go home this afternoon, I'm not going to read the whole book of Jonah this morning. Go home and read it. It's just very enlightening. And you see a lot of the push and pull between Jonah and God. But let me summarize it quickly to give us the whole picture. God calls Jonah to prophesy to Nineveh. Jonah says no. Instead, he boards a boat to go the absolute opposite direction, to Tarshish. And while aboard that boat, a storm begins to just absolutely almost undo the boat. Jonah, for some reason, is able to stay asleep in the bottom part of in the belly of the boat. And the crew, as he's sleeping and the storm is raging, is trying to figure out who is it that disobeyed the gods that they're mad at us. And you can just almost see the visual. Jonah just getting up, sort of seasick from all the rocking and back and forth, and sleepy eyes, and walks up to the deck. What in the world is wrong, guys? What are you talking about? Is it you? Yeah, it's me. I'm the one that was disobedient. I'm the one that needs to be thrown over. Not any of the rest of you. The text tells us the crew offered a prayer of forgiveness for doing what they knew they thought they needed to do, which was throw him overboard and let him, what they would think, was perish. And that's indeed exactly what they did. They threw Jonah overboard and thought forever gone. But God had another plan. A big fish, we all know what kind of fish it is. It doesn't say a whale in the text, it says a big fish, swallowed Jonah, and for 3 days he was in the belly of the whale. Now, there's a place to ponder. There's a place to ponder disobedience, and that's what he did. And he came to that place of regret, that he indeed had done the wrong thing and got on the ship to go the opposite direction of which God had called him. And the big fish spits him out onto the shore. Jonah realizes it's a second chance. And that's where we pick up the text this morning. We pick up the text with God speaking to him a second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city. Proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God said what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. God calls a second time. And interesting, they respond. Maybe it was the fact that you see a man walking through town that obviously had been in bad shape, in the belly of a whale, with all of his clothes, with the acid of the whale's belly, all of that. But whatever, they responded to repentance. Now, why in the world did Jonah, in the first place, refuse to go? Well, maybe he just didn't feel like he was an adequate prophet and couldn't speak the word. Given the history between his people and the Ninevites, perhaps he thought that the people would ignore God's plea, so why go anyways? No, Jonah loathed, hated the Ninevites. Listen to what one commentator says. "Quite honestly, he would likely have done a jig on the grave of every last one of them had his prophecy come true. The Ninevites had held the Israelites captive for many years, inflicting pain and torture on them. Death would be a welcome retribution." He wanted parts of going to the Ninevites. Now, Jonah had experienced the love and forgiveness of God and the grace in profound ways. And what he was really afraid of is that God would look at the Ninevites with that same forgiveness and love. The Ninevites repented. Repentance, a change of mind which issues in regret for the past sins and a change of conduct for the better, to believe, trust in, rely on, and adhere to the good news. Take God's direction. God spares them. what he thought would happen and what he dreaded. His arch enemies are now forgiven. It's happened. So what does Jonah do? Goes off and sulks. He can't believe that God would forgive them after all that they've done. See, Jonah was happy to receive God's forgiveness for himself in his messed up life. But he wasn't too pleased that that same forgiveness was given to others. I think in many ways, you take the two stories from this morning, the gospel reading from Mark, the call of the disciples, and the call of Jonah to be the prophet to the Ninevites. In many ways, it's easier to relate to Jonah. I think it's hard for a lot of us to understand how in the world the disciples, caught in the midst of a profession and a lifestyle and all that, as they hear this new guy that comes into town, that they've heard the reputation of Jesus, and he calls them to follow, they leave everything immediately and follow. For a lot of us, we're too attached to the stuff, to the ways of our lives, to be able to immediately respond that way. But it's very easy to understand the Jonah story. It's very easy for me to relate to Jonah and see myself in that picture. Reluctant to see the forgiveness that God has afforded me to those that are my archenemies. Listen to the words of preacher Kathleen Wakefield. We may find Jonah amusing, ridiculous, or appalling as he mutters and whines against God's offer of redemption to the Ninevites, as he tries to run away from God. But if we let the story touch us, if we plumb the depths of our hearts, we will find Jonah there within us. The part of us that judges and condemns, that desires revenge rather than justice, vengeance instead of mercy. Jonah spends 3 days inside the whale, in the darkness, so he will have time to think, so he will learn a lesson. We too spend much time in darkness. The vengeance that we desire, the hurt feelings and grudges and rages that we carry for years, weigh us down and eat us. We're the ones who suffer the most in situations. It does not hurt the other person that we're unforgiving to. It hurts us. The Ninevites were not hurt by Jonah's reluctance. Only Jonah was. But it damages us spiritually, relationally, and emotionally, and physically. We are the ones spending time in darkness. We are the ones imprisoned. Why is Jonah so angry? The short answer is that God loves too many people. The longer answer, according to Jonah, is that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, ready to relent from punishing. This is how we expect God to be towards us. It's not always how we want God to be towards others. I read her commentary and I said, ouch. That's me. It's so difficult to let go of the hurt that someone else has inflicted on me and to think that I am to forgive and that God would forgive them if only they would repent, regret their past actions, and turn towards Him. There's a part of me that doesn't want to see that happen. I want to see them punished and get their just deserts. But what I'm hearing in this story of Jonah is that God forgives the unforgivable. And if I'm really in touch with who I am, He's forgiven me the unforgivable. He's forgiven each one of us the unforgivable. There's no reason He should have to forgive us. He does because He loves us and has afforded that opportunity because of the cross. It's offered to all. Come. If you repent, regret your past, turn towards me, you come. It's the story of the prodigal son. And Jonah is the older brother. Really, Dad? A party? After all he did? But son, your brother was, we thought was dead, was lost forever. And now he's back. It's very easy to see yourself as the brother of the prodigal, even more than the prodigal. Couldn't you imagine if you allow God to forgive you the unforgivable in His fullness? There's part of me that says, God, really, you can't. I don't deserve it. And he says, no, you don't. But we're called to embrace it. Can you imagine if you embraced all the forgiveness that God would have towards you, and then you embrace the forgiveness that he wants to give towards others? And we're part of the agent to let others know of his extravagant, scandalous forgiveness. That's the story of Jonah. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for a wonderful story of not only a call to come and follow, but a story of repentance by people that were less than deserving, but you forgave them as they repented and came to follow. Come, Lord Jesus, forgive us of our sins and help us to forgive others of the sins they've committed against us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.